So I'm Cathy Ingram at Waterloo, the 11th of May 1995. Cathy, where were you born?
In Zetland.
And what year was that?
1945.
And where did you grow up?
In Helensburg, down the south coast.
Right. And what age were you when you came here?
I was 12 when I moved to Waterloo the first time. And I was here till I was 20. Then I moved to Alexandria, and then I was there for a few years. And then I moved back to Waterloo after I'd had, when I was about 26, I moved back here for a while. And then I moved out to Lugano and Peakhurst area for about 6 years, and then I come back to Waterloo, and I've been in this area ever since then. Dean was three, he was 75, about 1978. I came back to Waterloo and I've been in this area ever since.
You've spent most of your life in the inner city, haven't you? Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Just one brother.
Was he older?
Just, 1 year older.
Yeah. And what are your earliest memories here in Waterloo?
Oh, I don't know. I went to school here first. I started school here before I moved here because I was living down in Zetland first.
Mm.
I went to Mount Carmel School, first year at high school. And then when we moved out to Herne Bay, as it was then, and I still come to school in Waterloo. Mm. And then we lived in St Peter's for a while and then we finished up moving here.
Mm.
Then because I had a lot of friends here, and that's why when they decided to buy a house, my mum and I just, you know, I asked if they could buy a house in Waterloo because that's where my friends were.
Mm.
So they did.
So you'd remember probably from about the late 50s, 57 on, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I started school up here in 1956. I started high school at Mount Carmel.
And that's still going, isn't it, that school?
Yeah, but it's not a high school now, it's a primary school now.
Mm.
It was only a high school then when I went there, boys and girls high school.
Mm. Did Dean go there?
No, Dean didn't go there, but my oldest daughter and son, Donna and Stephen, started school at Mount Carmel.
Mm.
And then we got our house at Lugano, it was the housing commission.
Mm.
So we moved out there. Mm. Dean started school. I took him to George Street. He started school down here in George Street.
Mm.
And he went there until he left school, you know, like until sixth class, and then he went to high school and he left.
When you moved here, say, in the late 50s, what kind of a house did you live in?
Oh, just a small weatherboard house. It only had one bedroom, really.
Was it a semi? Or was it attached?
It was attached to another house.
Mm.
There was two houses.
Where was that? What's
in Wellington Street.
Wellington.
Yeah. Everything starts in Wellington Street and finishes. And that Jackie that was just here, her sister lived next door to us in Wellington Street.
Mm.
And then the Housing Commission decided that they wanted to build all the flats and whatever, so we all had to move. So my mum and, you know, her de facto were buying their house. So then they bought a house in Alexandria. So the only reason we moved from here was because we had no choice because of the housing commission.
Yeah. Was there a lot of objection to those big flats going up?
Well, I don't know if many people owned their homes there then. You know, I know of the people on the other side of Wellington Street, they've still got their homes there.
Mm.
They, you know, but the ones on our side of the street, you know, I don't know how many people own their homes. I know that the neighbours, the immediate neighbours did.
Mm. So there wouldn't have been any choice?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what kind of a place was it for, was Waterloo for kids in the late 50s?
What do you mean, in what way?
I don't know, was it a good place to grow up?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed being around here. I had a lot of friends and didn't have much to do, but we just used to walk around and play in Mount Carmel Park, or we used to go to the beach at Coogee because we didn't have the swimming pools then.
Mm.
But then when they opened up the swimming pool in Victoria Park, we started going over there until they opened up the one in Prince Alfred, which was closer.
Mm.
But before that, we had to walk. We walked just about everywhere we went.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you use trams or...?
Oh, well, we just used to walk. Mm. We walked to Coogee and then sometimes we'd walk home, but my uncle used to sell hot dogs out there, so he'd pick us up on the way home usually.
Hmm.
I don't know why we walked. It was just, I think it was just easier because of the, you had to go to Central, I think, to get a bus to Coogee. And so we just kind of used to walk just straight across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what kind of a kid were you?
Oh, I think I was a good kid. Got into a bit of trouble. We used to smoke, and I think, you know, we got into trouble for hanging around the street smoking, but that's about all.
And that was the worst of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm. I don't think I was a very bad kid. We did wag school a little bit at one time, but then I got caught, so I had to, you know, go back to school.
Mm.
But other than that, we weren't kids that got into any real mischief.
Mm.
And we didn't steal, or I don't think very many people did in those days. You know, it was, your doors were open and everything. And
was it considered a safe neighbourhood then?
Oh yeah, very safe. I still consider it all right around here. I mean, I don't. Mm. I still sometimes leave my back door open.
Yeah.
And you know, I've never had any problems in the area.
Mm.
But I know it is changing to what it was. You know, but I still like the area.
Mm. And you must know it really well.
Yeah, I wouldn't live anywhere else now.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think it's a friendly place. Because out at Lugano, you do find a bit of, you know, there was a bit of racism and prejudice and different things.
Really?
But I think in Waterloo, the people around here are just more down to earth and they accept you, you know. It's, I think they're a lovely, you know, well, I mean, the people around here, I haven't had any problems with any, you know, any racism or anything. I think they all just learn to live together in this area, because a lot of the Aboriginal people have been around this area.
Yeah,
so I think, for a long time. So I think that, you know, the people around this area have just accepted them.
Mm.
And in the suburbs, they think that they're a bit better or whatever. And, you know, when you move into their neighbourhood, they think the value of their houses are going to go down and all this crap.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you face that?
Yeah, well, I didn't know about it, but apparently our house was an Aboriginal home, especially for Aboriginals, when it was built there. And I heard later from one of the other neighbours that they'd taken up a petition and gone to the council and everything to try to get the house stopped from being occupied by Aboriginals, because they were all buying their houses in that street.
Yeah.
And they thought the value of their properties would go down and this and that and everything. I was really shocked when she told me, because they all seemed so nice when we moved out there, you know.
Were they okay when you moved there?
They were okay when we first went there. But then after a while there was a lot of hassle and whatever.
Yeah.
So we finished up moving and I just wanted to come back here where I knew that we were welcome.
Yeah.
So I put in for a transfer and got one to come back to Waterloo.
Must have been pretty narrow-minded.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not to say that the neighbours were all to blame. I can accept some responsibility for the problems we had. I mean, but still, there was a lot of prejudice out there. And I just felt more comfortable living in Waterloo.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot more diversity, I think, here too. It's got a history of just all sorts of people.
Yeah. And then everybody accepts everybody else. And, you know, people, you walk down the street and they say g'day and, you know, it's out there, you know. You'd think a community like that would be more, you know, they were nice.
Mm.
Some of the neighbours were lovely, but some of them just didn't want to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, anything that happened, they blamed them. They blamed us. There used to be a tip down behind us when we moved in there, and they, you know, closed it all in and whatever they did, and then they built more houses on top of it. So when the new neighbours moved in, any rats or cockroaches or anything like that, they said they're all coming from my place. You know, the neighbour right behind me, she said, oh, they must be coming from up there. You know, that's the attitudes that they had. So that none of those other lot of families that moved in had anything to do with us. And another Aboriginal woman moved in there too. And she was all right. She was accepted because she moved in down there with them. But they didn't really want to have anything to do with us.
No, better off out of there.
Yeah.
Don't need it. Yeah. You don't need to waste your energy converting them
either. No, some people will never be converted.
That's right. Talking about your family, what sort of a family do you come from? And what do your parents do?
No, both mum and dad work. They separated when I was 11 and a half, that's why we moved. Because mum and dad separated, so my nan still lived in Zetlin, where I was born. I was born at her house, on the bed.
Yeah.
So we come back to live with her for a while. And that's when I started going to school here, and then mum, you know, met someone else and went to live with him, and, you know, all this happened. But they both worked all their lives.
What did mum work at?
Mum was a machinist, and my father worked in the coal mines at Helensburg. He stayed there. He worked there until he was 60 when he retired.
Gee. Did he have problems like with those lung diseases, like black lung or...?
No, but they do put you off when you're 60 because you could get what they call dusted.
Yeah.
So they retire them at 60 instead of 65, and then you go on a pension or you get a lump sum, whatever.
Mm.
And Dad took the lump sum and he bought a house at Mascot.
Oh. So he moved back.
Yeah, because we were here. He only stayed in Helensburg because that's where his job was.
Yeah.
But every weekend he came in to town to be, you know, with his family.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of
were very, still very still close. Yeah. Even, you know, mum and dad were still friends after, you know, after the separation and, you know, the whatever they got. They were really good friends.
Mm. And what did your stepfather do? Where did he
used to be a printer.
Did he work locally with a printing?
He used to work at Sydenham for a long time. Yeah, just all local. Whenever he needed a job, he just had to go to the printers' union and they found him a job and whatever, because that was, he was a printer and that was a good profession, you know, in that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was, you know, always had a job until he hurt one of his legs and had a couple of accidents, chopped a couple of fingers off and had something wrong with his leg, got hit with the car, I think. But he's, you know, they're not living together anymore, they still live in the same house, but they're not together anymore, but he's still alive. My father died.
In your family, who controlled the finances? What happened to the pay packets?
Well, I think mum controlled the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dad used to come home and... Well, I know she controlled it when she was with John, but I mean, as far as I could, I think she used to manage it when she was with Dad as well.
Mm. And then when he gets some money back for the money.
Yeah. He'd more or less give her the bulk of the money and then he'd just keep whatever he wanted, I suppose.
And did she pay all
but
the
she
bills?
She always worked as well.
Yeah. And did she pay the bills? And...
Yeah. Yeah.
Women mostly did.
Yeah. Well, I still do it now because I think it's just something that you inherit from your family that the woman looks after the money. Yeah. I don't know whether it's still that way or not, but it's like that way in my family anyway.
It is with a lot.
Yeah.
That's the usual sort of answer. Just interesting.
Yeah.
Well, what sort of a man was your father? How would you describe him?
Oh, wonderful. But he was... He used to drink of a weekend, but he was, I don't know, he was just a nice, quiet, generous person. He wouldn't hurt anybody, wouldn't say anything to hurt anybody. And when he'd have a few drinks and he used to get drunk, you know, I mean, he used to sing all the time. He was a happy drunk, but it was a bit annoying sometimes, but he was just a happy drunk, just a happy person.
Mm.
Never really got you know, nothing much upset him. I think I take after him a lot. And my mum was a bit loud and, you know, get real cranky all the time and yelling and whatever. Got no patience. And I think my brother takes after her.
And where did they meet?
I think they met down here in Zetland. That's my, because my grandmother, you know, was around this area for a long time. And she lived down in Elizabeth Street, Zetland. And when my mum, so my mum was taken away from her mother when she was young because...
And she was living in the city and was taken away?
I don't know where they were living when she was taken away. I know my mum was born in Depto.
Oh.
And her father was English.
Mm.
And my nan had three kids. And then he went back to England and left her with the three kids. And she was allowed to keep the kids until she met another fella, which he happened to be Aboriginal as well. So when she was going to live with this Aboriginal man, they come and took their three children. And they were put in foster homes. And Mum was with her sister most of the time. She said when they went to the first foster home, they lived over here in Kensington somewhere. And my nan worked around there somewhere, so they kind of kept in touch with their mother. They knew, you know, who their mother was and seen a lot of her. Because she never stopped trying to get her kids back.
Mm.
And then when my mum was 14, she was put into Ingleburn Homes. That's where they put the Aboriginal girls to train them to be domestics. And that was mum's time to be trained to be a domestic, to be put out into one of the houses to work.
Hmm.
And when she was up there, she, you know, my nan used to go and visit her and she left the 20 cents or whatever, so or two bob. So mum hid it away and hid all her clothes and escaped. Then she come down here to Zetland to me mum, to me nan's.
Hmm.
And they let her live with her mother then. They, you know, they went back to court and whatever.
Hmm. Was she able to get the other ones back, the other two kids?
No. Mum didn't even know she had a brother until she was 14. Because he was young, he must have been only a baby when he was taken. And so they let Mum live with her mother then, and then she met Dad, and they got married.
Mm. And where did your dad come from?
Helensburgh.
Oh, that's right. Oh, he actually came from Helensburgh.
No, he was born in Condoblin. But my grandmother, his mother, was working at Waterfall out there in the sanitarium out there at Waterfall. And I think that must be, I don't know, but I think that must be where she met her husband. And then they got married and they moved to Helensburgh. Well, she had my father before that.
Mm.
So he stayed in Condoblin with his grandmother up there.
Mm.
And then when she died, my father had to come and live with his mother in Helensburgh with her, you know.
Mm.
He was seven when he moved to Helensburgh.
Mm.
And he lived there until he was 60.
Oh,
most of his life. Yeah, so then I think but he wandered around a little bit. I think that's when he was wandering around that he met Mum. Mm. And they got married. She was only 15 when they got married.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So young.
So then they moved to Helensburgh.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Were your parents religious?
Oh, I don't know. We were... They didn't use, I don't know, church or anything, but they were, I think my father was a Catholic, Mum was Church of England, but they didn't go to church, but it was taught to us, you know. My brother and I were sent to a Catholic school, and one time there we used to go to church every day. We never missed going to Sunday church and whatever.
Mm. Did they take you to Mass every day at the school?
No, we went on our own. We used to get on the bus and go by ourselves, and then come home and have breakfast and then go back to school because our church was our school and everything.
Yeah.
That's all we had in Helensburgh. The Catholic church we used to use for our school, and then Sundays it was the church.
Hmm. And what, were they ever politically involved?
No, not really. They used to just always say vote Labor. I mean, I don't know if they ever got into any politics or anything, but all I can ever remember them saying that you always vote Labor when you're a working person.
Mm. Did you ever hear them talking about, I don't know, election campaigns or Menzies or just, you know how people sit around and complain about what's happening? Do you remember?
Oh, they probably did, but I can't really remember them having the discussion about it.
Yeah. Well, what sort of discipline was used at home?
Well, Mum really did all the discipline when we were down there. I mean, Dad never ever hit us or anything. Because, I mean, I can't remember it. I remember him slapping us once, but Mum usually just got a slap, you know, if he did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we never got that many hits because we weren't that bad, I don't think.
They didn't have a strap?
Well, I can't remember whether Mum hit us with a strap or a hand. I know Dad never, you know, he only ever hit us once. He'd just give us a whack on the backside with his hand. But, no, I don't think we ever got hit with a strap. I think it was just a open hand on the backside.
Yeah. When you were living down here, were you expected to contribute to the family in any way? Like, you
when
know
I
how
was working,
kids,
oh, yeah,
paper runs or stuff like that, or when you were a kid?
I didn't have to contribute it money-wise because they were always workers. There was always money.
Mm.
We were never... the only time that they ever had a bad trot, I think, was when the mine was on strike. I remember Mum talking about that, you know, they were on strike for a long time and they didn't have any money, but I've never known them not... I can't remember that part of it. Because they always had money. The only thing I used to contribute with was help with the housework.
And what did you have to do?
Well, when I'd come home from school, before I'd go, I was supposed to tidy up the kitchen. Sometimes I'd leave it till I come home, but I had to make sure that that kitchen was tidy when Mum got home from work. Because she had to leave before I left and she didn't get home till after we were home. And John used to get home earlier, so he used to cook the tea. And then Mum would wash up after tea. But I had to, you know, straighten up the kitchen. We'd just go to the shop for messages or whatever. The shop was just down the corner.
Yeah. Did people do most of their shopping locally at corner?
I can't remember whether they ever went to a supermarket or what. I mean, I never read anything. Because no one had cars.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have a car or anything, so I don't really know where Mum used to get her shopping all the time or anything to do
with. Do it daily? Like go up to the shop and get what they needed sort of for the... I mean, now some people shop
just
once a month.
Yeah, well, just... I think it was just more or less daily, but... I mean, I know we never had to go. Everything was there, you know. We always had plenty of this and that. But I don't remember buying everything from the corner shop. I mean, they must have did once a week shopping.
Somewhere.
Yeah. But I just don't know where or whatever. I can't remember that part of it. I mean, it was probably wasn't important to me, so I don't remember it.
Would you go and get the messages often?
Yeah, well, you'd have to go every day. Someone would have to go down to the shop and get the bread and the milk and whatever you needed just from the corner shop, either me or my brother. It was nearly always me.
Yeah.
Because he'd get away with a lot of things.
Did your brother contribute at all to the housework or anything in any way?
Yeah, well, he had to help. That's what I say, most of the time we got out of the house before anything had to be done or that.
Yeah.
But he started working early. But he went to live with Dad for a while. But when he come back, he must have been... Yeah, he come back to live with us. Well, by that time he was old enough to go and get a job. He went and got a job when he was about 14. He worked on the Everly Goods Yards up there.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to give me money. He'd share some of his money with me. But he probably didn't have to give Mum anything, but he'd share. He's always good to me.
Oh,
and he still is.
Yeah.
You know, he always, if he got £6 or whatever, he'd give me the £1 and he'd keep the £5. Now like that. But he was good. I don't know if he ever got that much money, but then I started working early myself when I was 14 and a half.
Gee, why didn't you both start working early? I mean, that would have been in the 60s, weren't you?
Yeah, well,
supposed to be good then?
Yeah, well, there was no more school. You could only go till third year.
Oh.
And when I was in third year, I was 14 and a half. So I couldn't go back to school because I'd finished my schooling, so you had to get a job.
Really? This wasn't that option?
No, well, there was only... It went first up to sixth class and then it went to first, second and third year. Then there was no more.
Did you do the intermediate or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the intermediate certificate and then there was nothing else to do then. I mean, unless you wanted to go to a university or something like that, which I wasn't interested in doing any more studying.
Yeah.
So we just got jobs.
Well, what did the family do for fun? As a family, did you go out?
We never did anything together, kind of thing. Now and again, we might go. When we were younger, we did. I mean, my other family used to come down and we'd all go out to the creek and fish and swim and things like that, you know, just down near Helensburg.
Mm.
But since when we moved to the city,
mm.
we were bigger, so we more or less did our own thing. We didn't...
Right.
You know, we didn't go anywhere. You didn't do that in those days. You didn't go anywhere with your parents. You just went by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so... But a lot of the time when I first left Helensburg, I used to go back there a lot every weekend because, you know, that was my friends were there and whatever. Mm. It was only until I didn't make real good friends around here until I was nearly 13. So up until then I was going back and I used to just go to school here and come home and just sit around or whatever, and then I'd go to Helensburg every weekend.
And stay with your dad.
And stay with my friends or my father, whatever.
Mm.
And then I made a couple of friends around here. Well, then I started to hang around here, and then I'd come over here every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and we'd just walk around or do whatever we did, and then I'd go catch a bus back to St. Peter's. And that's when they decided they were going to buy a house, so I said I wanted to, you know, get one in Waterloo.
Mm. What would you do at home, the family, in a typical evening? Say you come home from school and you make sure the kitchen's cleaned up, and then, what time would your stepfather get home?
Oh, he'd get home about 4:30 or something, I think. He'd cook tea and...
What time would you
get home? But I'd never be there. We'd be down the corner shop.
Right.
We just used to hang around the corner shop, all the young people.
Right.
And then, you know, after I did whatever I had to do before he got home, and then I'd go home and have tea after Mum got home at 5:30 or 5 o'clock, whatever. And then Mum would wash up and we'd just watch TV.
Oh.
Or I'd, before we got a TV, I used to go to my friend's house to watch TV around the corner.
And what were the favourite shows of that time?
Oh, just mostly the variety shows. You know, I can't remember all of them, but... It's just a lot of... I remember that one from America that where they used to... Johnny Mathis used to be on it. And I don't know, it was just a half-hour show, but yeah. I used to love it. I can't remember what it's called now.
Mm.
But they just used to sing, you know, like a half-hour singing show or whatever.
Well, there were a lot of variety shows then.
It was nearly all just variety.
Mm. Rather than sitcoms or whatever they have now. Yeah. And would your mum and dad watch TV too?
Oh, yeah.
Did your parents like their jobs?
Oh, I don't know. I think so. Mum was... She always went. I think she enjoyed it. She was good at what she did.
Who'd she work for? What was the company?
I don't know. Evercraft was one of them.
Oh, right.
They make trousers.
Mm.
And I think they're into making uniforms now. And she's worked in a different...
Mm.
Like, she started to be a machinist in Helensburg. All they had was a factory and they had a coal mine. And that was more or less where everybody worked.
Yeah.
So she worked in the factory and Dad worked in the mines. And so when she came to Sydney, she just worked down there at Evercraft.
Mm.
And then a friend of hers had went and... got into business for himself. She used to work for him in Helensburg, so they bought a factory at Hornsby. So that's when she used to go to work at Hornsby. So that's why she used to leave early and get home late.
Yeah.
So that's why we all had to, Saturday morning we used to have to get up and go through the whole house. Mum would stay at the back and do all the washing and we'd go through mopping and polishing and whatever had to be done inside the house.
Mm. Mm. Well, and that would be Saturday morning. What would you do Saturday afternoon? Was that off, time off?
Yeah, just go and meet your friends or...
Mm.
Well, then we started to get, as we got older, you know, we just started going down to the hotels, have a couple of drinks or whatever and come back. And the pubs used to shut at 6:30 then. You'd go down in the afternoon for a little while and come home or just to watch a show or whatever. You didn't always drink, but...
Mm.
used to have entertainment in the afternoons in the hotels.
Did they? Did what pubs?
Well, the Clifton was one of them. Yeah. You'd have something on in there in the afternoon.
A singer or
entertainment,
something.
Yeah. So you'd get in there till 6:30 and watch that or whatever. Then you'd come home in the night time and get all dressed and go back. And usually in the night they had a more entertainment where you were dancing. I mean, in the afternoon it was more or less just sitting and watching, and then in the night time it was, you know, a lot of dancing. Nearly all the hotels and that had entertainment. Not all of them, but I mean the nice hotels used to have some kind of entertainment.
In your day, did they have that, you know how they had the 6 o'clock closing? I've heard some hilarious stories about all the men having brawls outside the pub Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
But by the time, by your era, the pub's only shut for an hour and then people could go back. So did you still have that big spill of men out of the bars and pissed out of their minds and fighting then, or had that sort of stopped?
Yeah, well, I can't remember anything like that. I mean, I know after the pubs closed at 10 o'clock there used to be, you know, there'd always be a fight of some kind on, you know, something would be going on.
Yeah.
Brawls in the street and things like that.
Can you describe your mother's working day? What time would she get up in the morning?
No, I don't know. She used to be gone before I got out of bed.
Yeah.
When she had to go to Hornsby.
Mm.
And all the time she was working. I know, even when we were in Helensburg, I know that, you know, our clothes would be ready and we'd have to get up and get ourselves dressed and whatever. Mm. And my brother used to walk me down to the bus and that. And he more or less had to... When we were big enough, I mean, before that we used to have another girl down the corner used to come and take us to school that was bigger than us.
Mm.
But, you know, as soon as we got big enough to do it with ourselves, because Mum worked all the time, another lady down there looked after me while Mum worked. You know, probably looked after my brother as well, I don't know.
Yeah. Were your parents happy?
Well... I don't know. I mean, I don't know about my parents. I couldn't see anything wrong. I know they had arguments and then, you know, they finished up separating, but I suppose they were all right, you know, with Mum and John, you know, when she got to live with him, and that seemed all right.
You know, what was a typical meal?
Oh, well, when he came along, he started cooking all this. He used to do the cooking and we started getting goulash and... Vienna schnitzel and food that we didn't, you know, I can't remember what I mean, the normal meals, I don't know. I mean, we just used to...
Most families had chops and sausages and two or three veg.
Well, that's right, but then when John came along, he started cooking all this different food. I wouldn't eat a lot of it in the first place.
Was he an immigrant?
Yeah, he was Czechoslovakian. And he learned to cook, well, you know, just watching people.
But, did you get used to it?
Oh, yeah, got used to it. I wouldn't eat the goulash for a long time because he used to put cream in it. But I'd like it now. My kids like it. I learned to cook off... He taught me how to cook a lot of different dishes that he made.
Did
he? You know, sauerkraut and things, or the sweet and sour cabbage or whatever it is, you know, and things like that.
So would you have had... at that time, like now there were all these varieties of fruit and veg and you go to the shops, you know, but they weren't available before.
No, you just, all we really had was mashed potato and peas. Unless you had a baked dinner. You know, I mean, normal tea time would only be just meat, mashed potato and peas, that was it.
And he didn't get introduce you to capsicum and, you know, stuffed capsicum, that's a real...
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't eat anything like that when I was young.
Yeah.
He used to cook them and stuff, but I wouldn't eat anything like that. All I'd eat is me mashed potato and me meat. I wouldn't even eat the green peas half the time.
Yeah.
But now I love vegetables and I've brought my kids up to eat vegetables. I put it on their plate all the time and introduced them to it. But I don't think we were ever, you know, I can't remember ever being made to eat it. I mean, it was just something you more or less had on Sunday when... Because in Helensburg we had the chickens in the yard and they just go out and chop the head off and pluck it and whatever, and then you'd cook it for dinner. I couldn't do that now. I couldn't even eat it now if I thought that it'd come from the yard. And, you know, just go out and get the eggs off the hens and cook them.
Yeah.
I couldn't even eat one of those eggs now. I don't know why, but... just turns me off.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd know how to clean a chook now that I can remember.
Well, we always had to get in, stuck in and help pluck the feathers out and whatever.
There's a particular smell.
Yeah.
Wet feathers.
Yeah, well, you had to have them wet to be able to pull them out. And, I remember them chopping the head off, you know, putting it on the chopping block and just chop his head off, and then he'd be running around the yard for a little while with no head and the blood spurting out before it just lay down and die.
Mm. Were there a lot of kids in the neighbourhood?
Oh, yeah. There's a few.
What was the average family size? There were only two in your family. What about others in the neighbourhood?
Well, I didn't have a lot to do with all the people around here, but, you know, my friend, about three to four.
So who were your friends? Who'd you hang out with?
Will I tell their names? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, Donna Brown and Lorraine Finale and Lorraine Trishon. We were the closest, but Lorraine Trishon had arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't go out much.
As a kid, she had arthritis.
Yeah.
Mm.
And she's still all right. I mean, she's pretty crippled up and whatever. But
she's still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive. They're all still alive. You know, like the three of us were really good friends, but we used to go to Lorraine's visit her and to, you know.
Do they still live in the neighbourhood?
Yeah, Lorraine Finale still lives in Waterloo. And Donna lives out at Duneside, and Lorraine lives out at Hoxton Park, I think. Mm. Lorraine Trishon.
Have many people moved out there to places like Rudy Hill and way out west from the area?
Oh, not a lot of people that I know from here. A lot of them that we lived in that street, I know when they were housed at East Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, most of them went there to live. Mm. Most of the people that I know from Waterloo went to East Lakes.
Oh, right.
To that big housing thing out there. And, you know, they've gone from there since, but, you know, they're still in the inner city area.
Mm. I've done quite a few interviews up Central Coast and Cambridge Park, you know, newer areas. Yeah, you know, people who are Surrey Hills people, or Waterloo people, and Doonside, and just incredible.
Yeah.
The amount of people that moved.
Yeah, well, then, you know, because Donna Brown and she had to go with her family. They first got the housing commission because they were living here for a long time, and they think there was only three children, that's right. And, they were waiting for a long time for the housing commission. Well, when they got it, it was at Blacktown. So the family wanted to go, so she had no choice but to go.
Mm.
But, I mean, she was well into her teens because they'd waited about 11 years or more for the house.
So where would they live before the housing commission? They got a house, would they just be renting on the private market?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of people that owned their homes.
Yeah.
Just nearly everybody was more or less renting.
Mm. That's changed now. I think that more people own their place or try to own.
Yeah.
You know, the bank owned it.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, I don't think anybody had any money or whatever to buy. I don't know. See, with Mum and John, there was another couple.
Mm.
So they pooled their money together to get the deposit to put on the house.
Mm.
So then when they were paying it off, so I was the only kid there. There was two couples and just me until my brother come back.
Mm.
Well, then, you know, it was probably they could afford it that way.
Yeah.
And they were all working.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the times, I think most of the time, the both parents worked.
Mm.
But I know my other friend, her daughter's mother didn't work.
Mm.
She was home, but...
And most of your friends, both parents worked.
Yeah.
What did you do with your friends? You said you used to go and visit Lorraine at her house.
Yeah.
And what else would you do with your friends?
Well, we just used to play music or listen to songs, sit around and talk. And
And what sort of music were you into?
Oh, the rock and roll, then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you would have been in, you know, teenager and in the 60s.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty wild.
Yeah. Oh, it was all right. I mean, I don't know. I got married in 1963.
Oh.
I was only 18, but I mean...
That wasn't young then, though.
No, it wasn't young, but I mean, I don't think there was a lot of this. The Beatles and all that hadn't come into the scene yet. But I mean, it was just all... People were in an uproar about rock and roll. There was a lot of things going on about it. They used to rouse about the music and that. You know, it was too loud and you couldn't understand the words and this and that. And I know when we used to go out for drives or whatever in the car and, you know, you'd put the radio on, they'd put it on and we'd want to put it on the rock and roll and they'd, you know, they'd get cranky. Oh, you can't understand what they're talking about and it's all just noise and this and that. I know they complained a bit about it, but...
And who was your favourite singer?
I used to like the Everly Brothers, and I like Connie Francis. I still like Connie Francis. I still like the Everly Brothers too, but I think Connie Francis and Elvis, probably.
Mm. Can you remember when Elvis died?
Yeah, but I wasn't into it that much then. I mean, when he first came out, it was great, you know, because we were still in Helensburg.
Mm.
When he, you know, he was in, and he first started to be recognised, and then he made the movie. So of a Saturday, me and my brother were allowed to, he used to come to town with his mates to go to the movies, so he had to take me wherever he went. So Saturdays we'd get on the train and come into the city and go to the movies.
From Helensburg?
Yeah. You were able to do that then, it was safe.
Really?
And I was only 11 when I used to travel back and forwards on the train by myself to Helensburg.
Damn.
And I mean, it was safe. That was something that, you know, you could let your children do and know that they'd be all right. No one would interfere with them or, you know. But it was always in the daytime. I'd never be travelling at night. Go down, because it's only an hour on the train.
Right. And where were the cinemas in the city?
Just in George Street.
Oh, yeah. It's still in the same location?
Yeah. Still there.
Gee.
Used to be. And it'll more or less be, you know, about four different theatres.
Yeah.
But it's nearly, I think, across the road.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there was the Capitol down the bottom, but we nearly always went to George Street.
Mm. Well, what did you do for fun, you know, with your friends? How far were you allowed to roam? Once you were living in Waterloo, you would have, you know, you would have been 12 or whatever.
12, yeah.
Yes.
We used to walk all over the place, just walk around and, you know, go down to the pool or out to the beach. You know, you could go as long as you were home before dark, but we didn't do... Most of the time we were just at either somebody's house. It was either my place or Lorraine's or the other. The two Lorraines lived just down from each other.
Mm.
And you'd more or less just sit in the room listening to the music or talking or...
Mm. Did you go to the pictures much?
Yeah, we used to go to the movies every, Saturday afternoon or whatever.
And that was affordable then?
Yeah, used to go up to the end. Well, it used to be. Oh, God, I can't think of the name. The Empire Theatre in Cleveland Street.
Mm.
Just used to walk up there.
Mm. And were there places that you weren't allowed to go?
Well, only to the pubs. You weren't allowed to go to the pubs, that's all. But I mean, most of them.
For people that you had to avoid? Like, were there sort of places where it wasn't considered safe or nice for you to go?
I don't think so. I think it was... I don't know.
I mean did you have any adventures or anything odd happen when you were wandering around? Whether good or bad, you know?
No, I just used to... Oh, one time they found the bloke hanging in the park.
Yeah. Which park?
In Mount Carmel. That was in the paper and all about that, but I hadn't got here yet.
Oh.
Some of our other friends lived down in Cope Street.
Mm.
And Cole Joy and his brothers had the factory next door. They had a carpentry place or something there, So they used to talk to them all the time and everything, and that was a big thrill, knowing that we knew Cole Joy personally, and they'd started to make a name for themselves in the band and whatever.
Yeah.
And then as I was coming over from St. Peter's, I went down past their place first and they told me, you know, that these other two fellas found the bloke hanging, you know, hung himself in the park.
And,
but I mean,
Were there any local characters or eccentric people? Like, you know, there used to be, you know, like Arthur Stacey used to write Eternity everywhere, and there was Being Miles, people often talk about her jumping in cabs. Was there any local sort of people that were just a bit odd?
Well, I don't know. I know there used to be some drunks used to hang around up the top. I think there used to be a bit of a park just up opposite us. There was a laneway.
Mm.
I think there was some kind of a little thing up there where they used to gather and drink. And I remember that some of them used to come down and, you know, Mum used to give them a sandwich. So, I mean, I know if they ever called out, I had to go in and make them a sandwich or something. But I don't know. My uncle had a lot. It was always really a lot of activity at my place because my uncle sold hot dogs.
Mm.
And, you know, they were always battling to get a bit of money and whatever. So, you know, it was just always something happening of a weekend because he'd come in before he'd go out and load up his things and off he'd go. And then when he'd sell out or whatever, he'd come back with, you know, put away his stuff and that because he left it at Mum's.
Did you have a lot of relatives around?
Yeah. I mean, because my nan still lived down Zetland. Oh, she finished up moving up here to Walker Street.
Mm.
But, they were around.
Mm.
And,
What games did you play as a kid? What were the popular games at that time?
Well, I don't remember playing any games around here. I mean, sometimes we'd all... Everyone used to just kind of gather together. You know, it was just... Mm. You just hung around together.
Mm.
I mean, just talking in groups or listening to the music. I know they used to, you know, have a game of cards at my mum's, and my uncle would have his car parked out the front, so all the teenagers, we'd all sit out there in his car and listen to the radio and muck around, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we'd have a game of skippins in the middle of the street. You know, the neighbours used to complain about that, you know, because making a noise and whatever.
Really?
But,
What was the school like here where you went, Mount Carmel?
Oh, the school was all right, but then...
How were you treated?
We were treated okay until we used to wear... They probably thought we were a bit rough, I don't know, but we used to wear shorts and whatever. And the nuns brought it up in school one day about these girls walking around the street looking very loose and this and that and whatever.
Wearing shorts.
Because of the clothes, wearing shorts. So my mum went up to the school and abused hell out of them, and I was taken out of that school and I went to Gardiner's Road then.
And what was that like?
Well, it was different because I went from a Catholic school to a public school and the whole system was different, teaching and all their way that they taught and everything was so different. That's why I didn't get my intermediate certificate because...
Was it better or worse at Gardiner's Road, do you think?
Well, it was more easier going. It was more relaxed, I think.
Mm.
But it's just that I wasn't interested. Once I went to Gardiner's Road, I didn't get interested because I didn't think that the teachers didn't seem to be as interested in you and what you were doing as what they were at the Catholic school.
Were you taught by nuns at the Catholic school?
Yeah.
Well, in those days, they had very strict views on women wearing slacks.
Yeah, I know, slacks and shorts, and that's what we did, so we were called, you know, the no-hopers of the street. And because they did it to us in class, I knew that they were talking about me and my friend, so I got really upset and went home to my mum, you know, and she wasn't going to cop it.
Mm. Well, I think they were still doing that 10 years later.
Yeah. But, I mean, I realised that if I would have stayed there... I would have got my intermediate certificate and I would have went on to get a better job, even though I could have went to work in an office, but I didn't want to because all my friends worked in the factory.
Mm.
So I didn't even try to get an office job. I just went to work in the factory with my friends.
Yeah.
Finished up being in an office job now all these years later.
I just wonder that... Well, you must have liked the factory work. What sort of a factory did you work in?
Yeah, well, the first... I worked in the shoe factory, was my first job, just down the road at Packard Shoes. And then I went to another lolly factory, and then I got to Mastercraft Chocolates, and I stayed there. That's where I settled up until I got married. And then after I got married, I went back there to work for a while, but then they moved to Lane Cove.
Mm.
So I just couldn't, you know, couldn't go back to... I mean, I would have probably stayed on working after I... because I had some under my eldest girl then. But they moved, so it was too far for me to worry about going all the way to Lane Cove.
No trains there, are there?
No, I don't think so. I don't know how we'll
get there. Did most of the local kids go to school at the Catholic school, or were they split between the Catholic and the state school?
Yeah. Well, Donna, she went to Redfern. You know, that was a high school then too. Redfern used to be a high school. And she went there, and Lorraine and I went to Mount Carmel.
Was there any rivalry? You know how they used to, there used to be those...
Not here, but there used to be in Ellensburg. Oh, God, oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, they used to sing songs.
Yeah, they used to... See, oh, the stupid Catholics and this and that, because the bus used to pick the public school kids up first and then come along and get us, which was, there wasn't, I mean, our whole school was just one, as I say, in the first place, we're in the church. But, I mean...
Can you remember the chants or anything that people...
Oh, they used to sing out, oh, the stupid Catholics or this or that. I know they used to say some things to us.
Yes.
And then us being black as well didn't help, as well as being Catholic.
Did you get stuff, racist stuff?
At Helensburg we did.
What did they say?
And just call you blackie and things like that. Used to go home and say to Mum, we're not black, are we, Mum? She said, no, of course you're not. Which was stupid, really. But,
did she actually put... I mean, you knew you were Aboriginal?
Not until you? Oh, well, I don't know. Probably knew we were different, but I thought we were the same as anyone else.
Yeah.
I didn't... Because, as I say, I used to go home and say to Mum, we're not black, are we? And she'd say, no. It was only until I probably had it in the back of my mind. I don't think until I was about 10 or 11 until I started to realise that we were Aboriginal. And I knew that my family used to come there and they were dark and that, but it just didn't register to me. I thought everybody was the same.
Yeah.
Because with the Catholic religion, you're taught that we're all the same. You know, nobody's any better or... whatever than anyone else, so I just thought I was the same as them.
Well, some people didn't realise that they were Aboriginal or whatever until in their 20s or 30s.
Oh, well, I think my family, they knew.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they didn't really impress it on us, you know, because we were probably...
Was there any threat of you being taken away? I know that I've heard of stories where people did absolutely everything they could to stop their kids from knowing, in case they let it out, in case the kids got taken away.
Oh, no, there was never any danger of that because, you know, I had a good home life and my mum and dad both worked. My grandmother lived across the road.
Yeah. I think all that protection stuff might have eased up a bit then.
Oh, I think it was still going on, but because, you know, mum and dad were married and they were both working and they probably showing that they were... looking after their kids or whatever, I don't know.
It must have been an awful threat to live under that.
Oh, yeah. My grandmother hated the welfare. She really, you know, if she thought the welfare were coming, I mean, it was a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, she hated them because, you know, it had already happened to her once. And she was a loving person, you know, loved kids. Even, you know, she finished up rearing 4 grandchildren altogether, you know, 2, and then when their mother was all right, she took them back, and then she had another 2 that she looked after. So, you know, it wasn't as if she didn't love her kids and try to keep them.
No.
It's just, you know, that's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, and Aboriginal families were targeted, but I think that, I can remember from growing up, that even, you know, white families, if people weren't, if the parents were split up or, you know, they were drinking or whatever, there was the threat of having your kids taken away.
That was there. I mean, even in my day, that was for everybody, not only Corey's. I mean, that welfare was there.
Yeah.
Watching over to make sure that you were doing the right thing by your kids, and if you weren't, they were taken off you and made state wards.
Yeah. What about sex education? Did you get
Never
any?
Got any. Never.
Not just from your mum and dad?
No, just from my friends. We just talked, whatever.
Yeah.
And no one ever talked much about it, but...
What about when you started to first menstruate? Were you expecting it? I mean, did you know what was going on?
Yeah, I was expecting something to happen because of all me, you know, and the older... My auntie was about 12 months older than me and, you know, friends and different things like that Mm. You know, others, I'd hear them talking or, you know, whatever. And
I say you knew?
I knew to expect it, but I just went home and told Mum. She said, I'm going to work, go and talk to your auntie. She was frightened. She was that kind of, you didn't know how to handle it or whatever.
Mm.
So she taught, you know.
Mm.
She worked a lot of the time, and I just went down and talked to Auntie Dot, but I mean, not that they told me anything. Mm. Just tell me you're going to get it all the time, open that with it.
Yeah.
Nothing was really spoke about.
Mm. So how would you describe the neighbourhood here, you know, Waterloo? Was it industrial or residential or mixed?
I think it was a mixture, yeah. Because mm. There was a few factories around here then.
And did most people work locally or did they travel somewhere else to work? Can you remember?
Well, I don't know much about the other people. I mean, I know that, you know, because we finished up all working there, Lorraine and Donna and I all finished up working at Mastercraft, so we used to walk.
Yeah.
Even though you could get a bus, we just walked there and walked home.
Mm.
And I know John used to go and get a bus. Mum had to get a train when she went out to Hornsby. When she worked in Elizabeth Street, she got the bus.
And what?
I don't know much about a lot of other people. I didn't take any notice of what other families were doing.
What kind of industries were around? There was a chocolate factory, and you've mentioned a boot factory.
Yeah, the Packard Shoes used to be down the road. There was a carpet place in Pitt Street.
Mm.
And, you know, a friend of ours that lived around here, he used to work there, carpet cleaning place.
Mm.
And there's Francis Chocolates, which is still up there.
Mm.
In a lot of people worked there. That's where my husband worked.
Mm.
And a lot of other people worked up there from around this area. And, I mean, mostly I think it was all just, you know, it was close enough for you to walk to if you wanted to go to work. Most of the jobs you got, because they were pretty easy to get.
Mm.
If you didn't like one job, you just leave it and go and get another one.
Oh, really? There's lots of employment around.
Yeah, my brother's, he's had heaps of jobs. And he's always worked all his life.
Mm. Was there much pollution here with all the, with industry around? Can you remember?
I didn't take much notice of anything like that. Mm. I can't remember. I mean, I know I can see it now. As you get older, you take notice of these things. You know, you look out in the street and you see all this muck and that around, but I don't suppose it was.
You think it's cleaner now or worse now than what it was then in the 50s, 60s?
No,
a lot of people had wood fires and stuff years ago, and there used to be a lot of, I don't know about the 50s, but there used to be a lot of chimney stacks and things in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah. I think Redfern's a lot cleaner, because I always remember coming into Redfern Station.
Yeah.
And I always remember my auntie hanging out the window saying, oh, God, this is a dirty place. There's always a lot of soot. Because, I mean, the steam trains then, you know, a lot of the houses and factories and whatever are all covered with a lot of soot.
Yeah.
So I think it's cleaned up a lot that way, where there's not all that around. Because that was all you used to see when you'd be on the train coming in. And it used to embarrass me because I knew we had to get off at Redfern to go to my nan's house in Zeddon. And I used to get embarrassed every time she'd say, oh, this is a dirty place, like as if my nan lived in a dirty place.
What sort of reputation did Waterloo and Redfern have at that time? You know, was it considered, slum or, how different places had a reputation? Did you ever feel uncomfortable saying that this is where you came from?
No, not really. I was glad. I mean, I was happy to be living here. And
you didn't feel that way?
I think a lot of people, like back in Helensburg, if I'd go back there, used to think it wasn't much, to live in.
Can you remember people having a go at you or saying negative things about the place? You know, just sort of.
No, well, only as I say, my auntie saying that it was a dirty place around this area.
Yeah. What was the ethnic mix here at that time, say 60, your late 50s, when you were 12 to up to about 15? What sort of groups
were you? We had a few friends. I mean, there was a Greek girl that we were friends with, and I can remember being a bit friendly with another Italian girl. But when I first went to school up here at Mount Carmel, there was there might have been another three or four Aboriginal girls there.
Mm.
But I made friends with a white girl, and we were really close. until I started mixing around with these other... She was quieter, I think, and I think these were a bit rougher, you know. Yeah. I mean, we were considered to be a bit rough because we'd swear. We used to swear. We used to hang around the corner and smoke, so... You know, we were considered the bad kids of the area, I suppose.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, as far as it went then.
You know, gosh.
I mean, but that's why, because you used to hang around the corner and you'd swear and smoke.
Yeah. So were mostly the immigrants in those days, it were the Greeks and the Italians?
Yeah, it was just about all Greeks and Italians. And
were there many Kuris here? And in Redfern?
There was a lot of Kuris in Redfern, but I didn't mix with many because I didn't... You know, as I said in the first place, I didn't know. We grew up in Helensburg where there were only whites, and I was a little bit funny about it. I knew that I had Aboriginal, I was an Aboriginal then, but I just didn't, they didn't seem like my kind of people. They were a bit too rough for me, I suppose. It's not because they were Aboriginal, it was the group that they were. You know, where they hung around down here at the milk bar and up at the corner in the other milk bar. It's just that they were places that I weren't allowed to go. I wasn't allowed to go to those milk bars.
Oh, really?
Because they were off limits.
Right. Did you mix much with... Is Waterloo and Redfern, was it much... Were they different? I mean, they seem so close.
Yeah.
But did you consider Redfern to be part of your neighbourhood, or were you really focused in Waterloo?
We're really in Waterloo, but then... Later on in our teens, we did have friends from up around Redfern and that, like, where we became a big group for us. There was, you know, it was more from Redfern. You know, there was Aboriginals and whites mixed, but we were a different group to the ones that mixed down there, you know what I mean? We weren't any better or any worse. It was just that we weren't that
in the same group.
We didn't know them that well. We knew people. My auntie used to knock around down there with them. But it just wasn't for me. It wasn't...
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to go there anyway. You know, Mum said they're too rough for you down there, even though we were considered to be a bit rough around this area because of what we used to do. So they were two places that I wasn't allowed to go, was it? Those two milk bars where they all... It's just because... It wasn't because they were black. It was because they were...
Rough.
Well, that was considered rough.
Yeah. But was your... When you were growing up, was your reputation considered to be really important? Can you remember being admonished? Kathy Ingram, 11th of May, 1995. So in terms of ethnic mix, you really only had the Greeks, the Italians. Were there any Lebanese around? I know there used to be Lebanese in...
Not as far as I know. All we had...
In Redfern, but none... None in Waterloo?
No, we only had... only ones I can remember are the Greeks and Italians. A lot of Greeks in Pitt Street, and I think the Italians lived down the bottom of Wellington Street. And Maltese, there was a lot of Maltese.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of Maltese, and they were people that were more or less accepted. The Maltese were just... They weren't, like, called wogs and everything like that. Yeah. You know, they were just a part of Waterloo.
But the Greeks and the Italians
were
considered...
The Greeks and the Italians were different.
And were they considered wogs?
Yeah. And yet the Maltese, because the Maltese had the shop in the first place. That was our hangout, the corner shop.
Oh, right.
The Maltese had it in the first place, and then the Greeks come in and bought it, you know. And, you know, then they started moving into Pitt Street, and, you know, that's how they used to be, where there was... one family, and then all the families had kind of lived together until they helped each other get a house, and then they'd move out, and, you know, they helped each other a lot. And there was always a lot in the one house. I remember that house in Pitt Street always had a lot of Greek family. You know, there was more than about two or three families at a time living in it.
And did...
But did they were lovely people. The ones... When we started to... I mean, in the first place, you started to accept the Italians, I think. The Maltese were more or less...
Accepted.
They were accepted. And then the Italians kind of got in, and then they were just starting to get accepted. And then I think the Greeks come, where it was, you know, they had to kind of get in. So, you know, when they took over the shop and the Maltese had to go, we were a bit upset and this and that. But then we found out that they were really lovely people. And then we made friends with the girl, you know, she was the Greek girl that was there. And before she used to go to school there with us, but we never really took any notice of her until we got to know her, that when we'd see her in the shop and that, and we started to talk to her and different things, that, you know, found out she's all right too, yeah. You know.
Yeah. So, do people think then that, like, say, the Greeks and the Italians, like, whatever the new wave was, did they think that they were dirty and say stuff like that about them?
Well, I don't know they ever said anything that they were dirty or anything. I think a lot of people used to think the Italians were dirty for some reason.
Well, since I think they blame everybody who was different as being...
I think what we used to more or less look... They just used... People, I think, used to call them greasy. You know, because I think it was... I don't know, was it whether the hair was really black or whether they wore a lot of hair oil, but they just seemed...
Well, they ran a fish and chip shop, probably.
Yeah, I don't know, but it just... Oil was a part of their... I mean, we always had dripping and stuff like that, and they all used oil.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that had anything to do with it, but they just seemed to look that way, that it was, you know, they were called greasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. I know I used to say it myself, but... You know, that was just what it was.
Just interesting how we categorise each wave.
Yeah, and each wave. I think the Italians were more or less called, like, greasy. I don't really know what... And dirty and greasy. But with the Greeks, I don't remember. I just remember that they used to all live in the same house, but I think what it was that they were helping each other, but we couldn't understand why they'd all want to live in the same house. You know, so many families.
Yeah. What was the social focus of the area? It sounds to me like you used to hang out at the corner shop.
Yeah.
What about your parents? Was there a place where, well, like a community centre or a pub or what, just whatever, where people would meet and talk, or if there was some sort of something happening in the neighbourhood that they didn't like or whatever? Was there any place like that?
No, my mum and me used to go out a real lot, but... you know, they used to go to the pub sometimes, just sit around and have a talk or whatever, and, you know, she wasn't the person that went out a lot.
And what was their local?
Well, John used to go to the pubs. He used to go around here to the Mount Lachlan or, you know, wherever there was a pub handy, he used to go and have a drink.
He didn't have a favourite local?
I think it was the Mount Lachlan.
Right.
It was the one he was at most of the time.
Who were your neighbours?
Well, Beverly, as I said, Beverly and Rita. Oh, no, there was a lot of neighbours, but, I mean, we weren't really had anything to do with them. But Beverly lived next door and Rita lived next door to her, and we were all kind of pretty close. For entertainment, they used to play cards at my mum's house. They weren't allowed to do those things in those days, but that's what they did.
But they weren't allowed to play cards?
Yeah, for money.
Oh, yeah.
So they used to play cards every Friday night and every Sunday at my mum's. That was the big thing for them all to do, was come to my mum's and have a game of cards.
Who's this, all your mum's friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. And were her friends,
They weren't really, I mean, it was because they wanted to have a game of cards.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't real close friends. They just wanted to play cards. And they knew that there was a game on at mum's, so people had come. And then you got to know them as friends. But they could be strangers when they first come there. They come there with someone else.
And were they Anglo-Aussies and Koreans?
Nearly all. It was just all...
What about the Greeks?
It was just all... Nearly just all Koreans.
Right, yeah.
There wasn't many... You know, might have been a couple of white people down again, but nearly all Koreans.
Was there much mixing between whites and Koreans?
Yeah, I don't think there was.
Was there a sense of not mixing, you know, of hostility or not acceptance, or was it?
Well, I don't know. See, my mum always worked around with the white people, and that she had a lot of friends in that way. She had both friends, black and white.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I couldn't see any in the Waterloo and Redfern area. I couldn't see any prejudice or whatever. You know, everybody accepted everybody around here. And you're, you know, more or less all friends with each other.
Yeah.
There wasn't no just one group and the other group. Everybody was, you know, just one group. As far as I can remember.
And has that changed over time, do you think?
I don't think the area's changed around here much. I mean, I know there's a lot of... there's a lot of new people coming into this area, and they might be a bit upset about the Koori's that live around here now because of a lot of things that are happening. But I don't think it's...
What new people are coming in?
Oh, all the different housing commission places that have been around here now. There's a lot of people that have, you know, come from different areas or whatever.
Hmm.
And there's, you know, a bit of trouble around the area now, and a lot of the times it's the Koori kids, so, you know, I mean, that way then people are getting a bit fed up, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, you can't blame the one race of people for what's happening. I mean, they're all, it's a bad scene around here, you know, bag snatching and noise. The kids, there's a lot of street kids around these days.
Yeah, and, but that's with any group, I think.
And
these days kids can leave. You can't
discipline
like people could discipline in the old days.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's right. I mean, if you're out too late, the neighbours would say to you, oh, what are you doing? Get home. You know, I'll tell your mother or your father. You know, that was... And you took notice of them.
Mm.
You know, you went home. I'll give you a kick up the bum or something, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember any local police?
No, well...
And you have any contact with them?
No, they weren't. You never really seen them much around because it wasn't a great deal of trouble, you know. I mean, it was...
Did they walk the beat then?
I don't remember them doing it. They probably did, but I don't remember.
What smells can you remember from being in Waterloo at that time?
Oh, I think it was only just the soot from the steam train. You know, you could smell that, but...
Yeah.
Just smoke, I suppose, from different factories and things.
What about what sounds when you think back to that time?
Oh, just traffic. I remember coming into the, you know, because it was so different coming from Helensburg.
Mm.
And, you know, where it was so quiet. And
were there a lot of cars?
Well, there wasn't a lot of cars, but I mean, for me, for someone that come from where I come from to having hardly any and none going up and down your street to having, you know, this. Mm.
Yeah. Did you have a car? Your parents had a car?
We didn't get one at all. Oh, God, I must have been about... I think I was old enough to drive, but I was after 17 or something like that.
Did 16. Most people have cars?
No.
Too expensive?
Yeah. It was just...
Yeah.
You know, we never got... You know, we got one when I was about 16. As I said, only a second-hand thing.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned to drive and that. But, then my brother got one. My father was pretty good to us, and he bought my brother, as soon as he was old enough to drive, he bought him a few. He bought me a few in my day too. But bombs, you know, nothing. But then my brother kind of had a car, and then when they upgraded, Mum and John upgraded the car they had, so they gave me their old one. So I've more or less had a car on and off. I haven't got one now, but I did have one more or less on and off. Most of me adult life.
Can you remember any big events when you were growing up? Queen coming out?
Yeah, I remember that.
What happened?
Well, that was when I was in... I remember when she got coronated. I'll never forget, because I remember that because she was coronated on the 2nd of June and that was my birthday. So I remember that. When I lived in Helensburg, I know there was a big event at Baulkham Hills. They opened up a big school or something out there. So we all travelled from Helensburg to go out there this day for the big opening of this. I can't remember whether it was a school or whatever it was out there. And some big person, a cardinal or something like that, was going out there to open it. But, I mean, I can't... No big events around. Oh, only the bicentenary. I mean, that was
a few years ago.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, this is a weird question. It's about rituals. You know, like there's Cracker Night and apparently they used to celebrate Wattle Day and Arbor Day and they used to do maypole dancing and run flags up poles and God Save the Queen and all this stuff. Can you remember anything when you were at school or... Can you remember anything like that sort of... I suppose Anzac Day. Did you go marching on Anzac Day?
Yeah, I remember the Anzac Day. We never used to go out, but I remember that it was always a big event.
But you were never part of it?
No. But I know that... I know when Dad worked in the mines, he always had May Day, the 1st of May.
Oh, yeah.
They always had that off, and I know there was some kind of thing used to go on, but I don't know whether my father ever went or anything, but I know they used to have some kind of a march or a meeting or something or other.
Yeah.
I know he always said it was May Day. Mm. I don't know what it was all about. Don't understand what it was about or anything. But,
Well, what about singing? Can you remember taking something called the pledge? Yeah. And you never heard of any of those sorts of things? I'm just...
Well, I don't know. It could have happened, but I was never involved with it, you know.
Yeah. And what about, did you have the school magazine? Was there a school magazine when you were at school? Did you get that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right, yeah. I can just remember that.
Did you like it? Can you remember it?
I can just barely remember that magazine. Now you brought it to me mind, you know, I can just remember it. But I can't remember what it was all about or anything, but I remember seeing the magazine at school.
Mm. And what about radio programs? Did you have, was it at school, were there radio programs?
No, I don't think so.
And what about excursions? Did your school ever take you on excursions?
No.
Here in Mount Carmel? No?
No.
I know I asked about sex education before. Can you remember anything about abortions? I mean, they would have been illegal then.
Oh, I know it. I know there used to be some people around that did things like that. But I mean,
Okay. When you were growing up, did things still get delivered, like milk and bread and? Yeah, were there any deliveries to...
Yeah, the milk used to come round.
Anything else?
I think there used to be blokes going around Barra with vegetables.
Yeah?
And things, or unless they just used to park. But I know in Helensburg they did come around with the bread. We used to have the bread, the milkman and the fruito used to come around down there. Mm. But around here I can only ever remember the milk, and I think bloke used to come around with the fruit barrel, but you just used to walk down the corner shop and get your bread.
I think things have changed quite a bit. Were there any local crims?
Oh, yeah. What's his name lived around here? Nettie Smith.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was...
Did you know that he was a crim?
Oh, yeah, we knew he was up to no good. He was always out thieving and whatever, him and another bloke. We knew him.
Were you scared of him?
Not really. He was kind of one of the group at one time, not for a real long time, but we were associated with the girl that was his girlfriend at the time.
Mm.
And, you know, like in the group.
Mm.
And but he wasn't around that long. He was here and always in and out of homes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was in trouble, you know, always thieving.
Mm.
Does anyone else hear of
this? Any local, bookies? But there's SP booking on them?
I used to have a bookie on the corner. There used to be a butcher shop on the corner where the factory is here now.
Yeah.
And the bookmakers used to be in the back. Used to come up, because we used to come up sometimes Saturday afternoon and put two bob each way or something on the horse.
The police ever raid it?
Yeah.
And what would happen?
Well, I was never there, luckily, when it never got raided. But I know they had two up games and that too.
Oh, where would they have those?
They used to have one over in Ferndale Lane. They used to play two up.
In the lane?
Yeah. And then they started up in St. Peter's. They had it going there for years in St. Peter's.
Didn't the police know?
Oh, kind of, I suppose.
They paid off.
I mean, they must have known that it was on. I mean, why would everyone go in there all the time? They used to raid it now and again. Luckily, again, I used to go there sometimes. But I was never ever caught. I know my grandmother sometimes was caught at the two-up or whatever, and you know, all taken to the police station, have to get their bail and different things. I know, I remember them talking about it.
That'd be embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that same thing would have happened at my mum's house if they would have come, because they were playing cards for money, which was illegal.
Yeah, they were really obsessed about that stuff then.
So, you know, you'd be worried if the police were going to come along. But
the locals didn't view the people doing that as criminals, did they?
No.
It was just an archaic law, just a stupid law.
And I remember they used to have to go and get sly grog on Sundays if they wanted to, you know, because the pubs weren't open, and if they wanted to go, they used to go to Ferndale Lane. I know they had, that was over there too.
Yeah.
We used to go and buy the sly grog.
Where would, I mean, and what would they do, stick it out the back door of the pub or something?
No, it was the house.
Oh, house.
Yeah, the private homes. They'd go and probably buy a whole heap of grog from the pubs and take it to their home.
And then sell it.
And then sell it for a bit more than what they bought it for.
Did you ever hear of a guy, I think he actually was in Alexandria, called Nicker Fox?
No.
He sold sly grog and somebody shot him.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he was on Henderson Road.
Oh, well, I mean, I might have... I never ever went there myself, but I know I used to have to drive my father there sometimes. He wanted a revolver on a Sunday morning.
Oh, that's at the Ferndale
Lane, or one down here in next to the Star Hotel. There was a little laneway there just off Botany Road. And
might you have to do three knocks or something?
You just kind of knock on the door. They'd have a look out, and most of the time the door was open. They could see, and then you'd walk into their house and, you know, get whatever you wanted to get and pay for it, and then, you know, just walk out with it on your arm.
Did it cost an arm or a leg?
It cost more than what it would.
Yeah.
It probably cost you twice as much or maybe a bit, just half as much more or something.
Were there much things like, foreign orders and could you buy stuff, you know, that had been robbed and that kind of thing, like at the pubs? Was there that much of that sort of petty kind of crime sort of stuff around? Was that sort of a part of the way of life?
There wasn't as much as, you know, but I mean, I think it still went on, you know, when it happened. Because, you know, my uncle, because he sold hot dogs, that was something that was illegal as well.
Really?
Yeah, and he had to be careful that he'd be out there on the beach or wherever he used to go. But, I mean, if the police would come along, I think he had to pack up and go. I don't think they ever pinched him for it, but I think they...
Mm.
So, I mean, he kind of mixed with a few people would probably into petty crime, I suppose.
Mm. But, you know, when you're talking before about Nettie Smith, from what I understand, is that most of the criminals didn't operate in their own neighbourhoods. Like, they went elsewhere.
Yeah.
And some people have commented to me that there was nothing worth stealing around
here. Yeah, well, that's right. that's probably right. But it was pretty... I mean, we had some money that... You always had your gas meter where you dropped your 10 cents in for your gas to go in our house. And I know that, you know, I went in there one day and caught a friend, you know, used to hang around our group, was in there stealing our money out of that. And he was just, you know, he did it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And little things would go from your house from these, you knew who they were.
Yeah.
The one family, I won't mention any names, but we knew who they were that were coming and stealing. Because, I mean, no one ever locked your doors.
You would have thought that they were pretty low, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, it was a bit upsetting to know that they were one of the group and you couldn't really prove it.
Yeah.
And I caught him one day near the gas, you know, raiding that. But, I mean, your back door was always open, you know. Your front door was closed, but the back door was never locked. It was always open.
Mm.
So that's how they knew they could get into people's houses. I mean, ours was anyway.
Yeah. Did you go on holidays?
No, never really. Never did anything like that much.
What were the most popular newspapers? Magazines and that.
Well,
type.
I never used to worry about it. I mean, I remember the Woman's Weekly and, you know, just the Sunday Telegraph and.
Did you read the comics?
Yeah, I used to read the comics out of the Sunday paper.
Mm.
I remember Ginger Vegas and. Yeah.
Did you have books and toys as a kid growing up?
Yeah, but I never ever been a person to read. I mean, I used to get books and probably read little short stories and things, but I've never been interested in reading. Still, not interested in it.
Can you remember any songs?
What, from school or just... Oh, I remember a lot of songs. I know a lot of songs. My father was always singing.
And what would he sing?
Oh, the old songs and... can't think of it now. Hey, Good Looking. He always used to sing that. And I mean, when I used to have a couple of drinks and I'd start singing, the kids always label me with that song now. Because, you know, I get it from Dad. He was always, you could hear him coming home. You know, you'd hear him about an hour before you seen him. Because he was always singing. And I think if I have a few drinks, I'm a bit happy like that too, and I start singing. So if I drink, I'm a happy drunk. Okay. Yeah.
What were the big movies of the time? What pictures do you remember?
Gone with the Wind, I suppose. And the Ten Commandments. I remember that coming out because that was something that, you know, you just thought like you had to go and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realise how long it was until I watched it on just recently.
Yeah.
It was on TV. Oh, God, it went for 4 hours. Gee, did we get it? And I don't know, every time, as I said, we used to go to the movies every Saturday, but whatever was on, we'd just go every Saturday afternoon. That was just what you did, you just went to the movies. So.
Can you remember any, on. Yeah, can you remember any jokes or riddles from your childhood?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Any tricks that you might pull on your neighbours or...
I remember they used to put the string on the door and ring the bell and then run.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of kids do that.
Knock down ginger or something, isn't it? Or something ginger. Some people call it that.
I don't know. We just used to go do it sometimes. But...
Okay. Well, can you remember any common illnesses? What would have been the common illnesses at, say, the late 50s, early 60s?
I don't know. I think polio was... was when it was, I think we all had to go and get vaccinated. I remember we all had to go and get vaccinated against polio because it was a pretty bad epidemic or something. You know,
can you remember anybody?
I don't remember anybody having it. Mm. Not then, but I do know a girl now. I mean, I didn't know till later in life, but I mean...
Mm.
It was just something that was happening. Yeah. I remember that, and I remember us all having to go and get the needles.
Mm. Were people anxious about that? Yeah, your mum and
Yeah,
people.
Well, I mean, it seemed to be like everyone was panicking. I don't know. Just seemed, you know, that it was something that people were worried about at the time.
Mm. But what did you know of the world outside your local area here? You know, were you conscious of, you know, other parts of Sydney or Australia or overseas? Were you very focused in on this area?
Yeah, just focused in on this area, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm running out of questions. Can you remember any politicians?
Oh, Bob Menzies, I suppose.
What do you think of him?
Well, I didn't have any opinions. I still haven't got many opinions about politicians because it doesn't interest me.
Mm.
I don't understand it. I know a lot of people talk about it and this and that, and I still don't understand anything about it.
Yeah.
So I just vote Labor because I've been told to vote Labor.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I don't really understand politics.
Mm.
I know that there's a lot of, you know... I just think they're marvellous how they can do what they do. I'm thinking about it. I said, I've got a budget to keep to in this little organisation. He's got to work out a budget for the whole of Australia. I think he's clever.
Yeah.
Anyone that can do that.
Mm.
So I just don't understand. I've never had anything to do with politics.
Yeah.
The only reason I went and put my name on the list to enrol. My father was on the list, but my mother never ever enrolled.
Mm.
And she never ever voted.
Mm.
And she, you know, she's, like as I said, I would never have got myself on the roll either. The only reason I did it was because at one time my sister-in-law was running, they had the A-team a few years ago for government. Yeah, the A-team, there was three Aboriginal. And my sister-in-law was one of them, and she encouraged us all to get on the roll because if we don't, we can't vote. So I got on the roll then, and that's the only reason.
Gee.
And then I have to vote now, and I only do it because I have to, and I just vote Labor. Mm. I don't, because I don't understand anything. I mean, even if they could talk to me till I'm blue in the face, and I'm still don't understand it. The person can talk to me and they convince me to.
Well, I think you have to take it with a bit of scepticism, you know.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean. If a Liberal person come up to me, I just wouldn't even want to listen to him. That's my attitude. I don't want to listen to you.
Mm.
I'm just going to vote for the Labor, and that's it.
Bob
Carr
will be thrilled.
Yeah, well, I'm set in my mind that all the way down the track I'll just vote Labor. I don't care what the others say. Mm. Because I've been taught that that's, you know, a working person votes for Labor.
Mm.
So don't let the others fool you.
Were you happy as a child?
Yeah.
What's your happiest memory?
Oh, I don't know, I suppose. Oh, I can't. I don't know.
Okay, saddest memory.
Well, it was sad when we left home, when we left Ellensburg. It was very sad for me. So I think it's about the saddest time was, you know, not living at home.
Mm. Okay, well, I've run out of questions. Is there anything you want to say that I haven't asked, anything I haven't covered that I should have?
No, I don't think so.
I think I've gone through it all. Okay, thanks very much.
That's all right.